We're here today at the European Microsoft Innovation Center in Aachen, Germany, and we're going to have a chat with one of the researchers about the work they're doing in sensor networks. Would you like to introduce yourself to our viewers?
Thanks, Catherine. My name is Matthias Neugebauer, and I'm one of the researchers here and responsible for our work in the area of wireless sensor networks. We are building software for application developers, so they are able to easily build applications in this new and very fascinating area of wireless sensor networks.
So let's step back for a minute and talk a minute about the EMIC itself. Now, I know there are a number of videos on Channel9 around the EMIC, but for viewers who may not have seen them, can you just tell us a little bit, what is the EMIC and what is your charter?
The EMIC is a small 50-people sized research lab here in Germany, and our main mission is to do research, applied research, together with external partners, collaborative research within the framework program of the European Communion, for example, in different areas. So working together with other people, with other universities, industry partners to build new exciting applications for research we are doing.
And so the area that you're working in is sensor networks. That's what you were beginning to tell us?
Yes. So my main topic is sensor networks. This is our focus here and the team is like 4 to 5 people. Working in currently two major projects. One is called Emerge. This is about emergency detection and prevention for elderly and chronically ill people. And the other one is called WASP. It's a bigger one. This is about wireless sensor populations and building platforms and applications in agriculture and healthcare.
So what exactly is a sensor network?
A sensor network is a network of devices, of usually small devices. Looks, for example, something like that one here, usually often even smaller, running on battery, small computers connected to analog or digital sensors, and getting all those signals, trying to make sense out of that. So you get a signal from a pressure med, for example, and trying to detect activities of daily living, for example, or you are in the environmental monitoring, determine what are the temperature changes, for example, out there, whatever. So get all those data, communicate that back to an application, and try to use this data for useful applications.
Okay. And so can you tell us a little bit about some of your projects?
Yes. One really interesting project here is the Emerge project. We are doing together with Fraunhofer in Germany and a couple of other partners throughout Europe. And this is about helping elderly and chronically ill people to stay longer at home. So usually they have to go to nursing homes, for example, so that they are under monitoring because of their illnesses. So in the case of an emergency, they are immediately accessible by the doctors, for example. Here we are building environmental sensors and solutions, applications that can be deployed in the homes of the patients. It's important to have them environmentally, so the people usually don't wear them on the body, so they cannot forget them, they are not obtrusive, they are not bothering them. We're using, for example, one of those foils here. You can hopefully see them. They are not built by us, but we're using them. They're coming from a Finnish company, and we have connected them to a sensor network to, for example, detect sleep patterns. And this is something I would like to show you here. And we have, again, this foil connected through an analog cable to a sensor node. And the sensor node is located in here. You can see the cable coming in, going through a small amplifier, which is powered by the batteries, and a sensor board, which is hosting the analog to digital converter, which is then connected to the sensor node, the controller board itself, which is plugged here just because of the electricity. It's not connected to any network. And this sensor node is getting the analog signal and is also processing the signal. So at the end, we have not just a waveform of a signal, but really meaningful data we can analyze in the application. This data is sent wirelessly to another node which is connected to my PC. And this node is just acting as a communication device, like a USB dongle for Wi-Fi or something like that. This is a node communicating with this one using a different kind of network technology called IEEE 802.15.4. And it's called a personal area network, and it's acting in low power and low bandwidth. So we cannot transfer a lot of data through it, but it's very energy efficient. And that's important, especially for sensor applications, because those nodes are usually battery powered, they are small, and need to be cost effective. So we need to use low bandwidth communication here.
So a couple of questions for you. Are the sensors themselves inside the foil, or is it just sending signals in the sensors of what you consider the sensor in the network? Is that in the device that you pointed to?
So the sensor in the network is here, this guy in the box.
Okay.
So the foil is sending in signals signals representing pressure changes induced to the foil. So by pressing or moving it, little voltage changes are measured and amplified through the amplifier and measured here on the sensor itself. So depending on how you want to see it, you can see the whole thing at the sensor, but you can say, okay, it consists of different components, which is the hardware, the sensor itself, the foil. You have an analog to digital converter in it, you have a processing unit in it, you have memory to store data, and what's also important, a communication device, so you can send this information wirelessly to your application.
And that wireless network, as you pointed out, isn't my typical Wi-Fi home network, right? It's that special, optimized...
Right. And this is one of the standards currently used in wireless sensor networks, is 802.15.4. There are also a couple of other MAC layers out there which are used, but I think that's the mainstream, and also the basis for something called ZigBee, which is probably more popular and used also in home automation and other areas.
So now that you collect all this data from the sensors and then you send that wirelessly to your PC, what do you do with it later?
Okay, so I can show you a small application which is currently using this and displaying this data, and you can see it on the screen here. And what you see here is a Windows application using the Microsoft Robotic Studio for communicating with the sensor. So what we have done is we have built we have ported the Robotic Studio distributed services runtime to the small sensors. The small sensor is running actually the .NET Micro framework. So the whole stack is Microsoft software, .NET managed code. This is one of the key elements here. We want to facilitate building applications by using managed code instead of C, NES, C++, whatever, or even assembler. Make it easier for the application developers, because they have to deal with different operating systems, different runtimes, different languages, different networking stacks, and make this much more easier and painless for the application developers.
So you're from the PC application, you're accessing the service state that's exposed from the sensor through DSS protocol, is that?
Absolutely.
Right.
So what you can see here is the raw signal of the sensor, of the pressure foil itself. You can see here, if you look at it, two waves of signals. You have the slower wave going here, and you have the small and fast moving signal. And the big waves represent the breathing rate of the signal. of the person. The smaller waves represent the breathing rate, the heart rate. And what we're doing is that we are processing this signal on the sensor node itself, so on this small box using managed code, to get out the breathing rate and the heart rate and an activity level of the person. And this is something you can see then in this chart, where you see here the red one indicates the heart rate of the person. You have the breathing rate in the bottom and the kind of activity level as these big boxes here. The idea here is to use this data for patient monitoring. So if, for example, we detect a person is in the bed and is sleeping and suddenly the heart rate stops, the breathing rate stops, for example. Or we detect over a long period of time a change of sleeping patterns. This could be, well, either indications of an emergency, an acute emergency, somebody needs to, well, act on that, or it could be an indication for the doctor of a long-term change of the health status. So a person, well, has problems with his heart or breathing or whatever, so the doctor can look at it and take actions on that mid-term.
Now, would this data be acquired by that foil that you showed us? Would a person would sleep on top of that, or how would that work?
So the foil would be deployed, for example, in the bed, under the mattress of the patient. So it's not visible, it's not detectable, it's really under the mattress, it's really high sensitive, and you still can, it's magic. I mean, you can still detect the signal, of the blood flowing through the veins. I mean, this is wow. This is really, those guys in Finland did a great job on that. And so it's not visible to the patient. The data is then, sent from the foil to the sensor controller, to the node you have seen here, is stored there, is analyzed there, and sent to the application. So we also want to store this data on the sensor node itself over the day, for example. The PC is then connecting to the sensor node, get the data, do the analysis. We're working there together with other partners who are more focusing on the reasoning part, for example. So, get the long-term data, long-term data, and see, okay, are there changes in the patterns, and correlate this with other activities, for example.
So you were showing us here, this looks like it's recorded data. Can we see it live?
Oh yeah, sure. So first get the foil. Oops. And I put it on the
chair. We're going to monitor your state, your heart rate here right on.
Uh-oh.
Live video.
Live video, live data. So now I switch to the live data feed. Up to now we had just recorded data, and now we get live data from the foil, and you see the signal changes significantly while I'm talking. All the stuff is, it's really sensitive. Now I need to be a bit more silent, so you can see a better signal here.
Because if you're talking, it will affect the information that the sensors are picking up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Now the signal is much better. Imagine when you're sleeping, you're not talking a lot. So
right. It's very sensitive.
Yeah.
So if we were to scare you right now, we would get a big...
Yes.
Maybe go off the charts.
Yes. Right? Absolutely.
Well, we won't. We'll leave that for another exercise. That's pretty cool to be able to see that that live data.
So, and then you see the data which is then derived from that. You can see here the activity level, which is quite high, talking, you can see, and then I was more silent here, and the heart rate, the breathing rate are adapting slowly. So we also need some time to actually, get through the data and get a good chunk of time so we can do better analysis of that data. And again, you see, going back and forth, you see the activity I had now while talking and acting and gives you a good feeling of the sensitivity of that thing.
So I would imagine if someone were monitoring this, or this type of activity were seen while someone was sleeping, that would be of cause of concern, right? Maybe they're having a nightmare, or maybe they have some sort of something that should, you know, they need further investigation.
You think like privacy issues, or
no? I'm saying if someone were to see this level of activity while someone was sleeping, it would be a cause for the doctors to want to
absolutely
look into
what was causing the
change in their
right
heart rate and breathing.
Within this project, we're actually working with doctors and mm-hmm. clinics, so we will have like a first trial of that by the end of September in a special lab, and we will have additional field trials with real patients in real clinics beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is stuff which is not just a technology thing where some geeks have put something together, but it's a real application together with doctors, with patients, and we do real field trials of that technology and trying to push this forward.
I guess it goes back to what you were saying before, is the EMIC working on applied research.
Absolutely.
Collaborative applied research.
Absolutely. And this is like a real integrated application, and this is just a small part of that. So this goes also back to systems connected to emergency call centers. So the fire brigade is connected to the system and gets this information and tries to do decisions based on the data they receive from the sensors applied or deployed in the apartment.
So what is unique about sensor network development? What are some of the challenges that you have, as far as that this research that you've done,
right,
what are things that you had to go in and address?
I mean, there are several aspects to this. First, it is quite difficult to implement those solutions. You usually have to deal with very different technologies, different computer languages, networking technologies, runtimes, and so on. Another thing comes from the hardware itself. I mean, those sensor networks we have here are already quite big and powerful. Often they are even smaller and less powerful, 16-bit processors, 10K of RAM, for example, so the application needs to be small. They're usually battery-powered, so you need to be energy-aware, you cannot communicate a lot. So what we are trying, for example, also reflected in this setup, is to do the processing of the signal itself locally. I mean, we have seen it on the display here, but just for presentation purposes. Usually you just get three items of data: heart rate, breathing rate, activity level, every 10 seconds, every minute, or whatever is maybe sufficient. So powering up the communication channel can be done just now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So big challenge is really energy awareness, saving energy wherever you can, small systems, and the distributed nature of that thing. So we have not just one node deployed, but we have usually 10, 20, and these are small networks. Often we have even hundreds or thousands of them.
What does an architecture look like for that? I mean, you have these multiple sensors, they're each accumulating data locally, as you said.
Yes.
And they all need to communicate that back at some time later.
Right.
Some base station, a PC,
yes.
Or what is it?
Yes. So there are different approaches to that. The architecture approach we are using, and which is also used by other researchers in the field, is that you have, let's say, a couple of small sensor nodes. We have the sensor nodes. Maybe one down here, so even like kind of like location kind of thing. And they communicate, for example, to a gateway node. So they are connected like this, for example. Or we have another gateway node down here connected to this guy. This sensor node might be connected to this sensor node. So we are starting to have, as we call it, mesh networking.
Okay.
So the sensor data coming from this guy is routed through another sensor to a gateway, and then we have an application on a PC, for example, could be, in the example of the emergency thing, we have a PC in the apartment with a server application running there, talking
to this gateway using web services or using Microsoft Robotics Studio DSSP protocols, talk to the gateway or to the sensor and get the data. So the idea is to really have local processing of the sensor data on those sensors and maybe also accumulating the data. So this guy sends his data here, and if you want to have like an average temperature of the air in the apartment, this guy can already accumulate the data and say, okay, I'll create the average data already here and just send back one data here. This guy is accumulating another part of the sensor data, and at the end the application gets the data as needed.
So if I understand it correctly, it's almost as if the CPU that the processing power required consumes less battery than the transfer, the communication.
Absolutely, absolutely. Research has shown that sending one byte is almost like 10 CPU cycles, not 10,000 CPU cycles. Okay. So this is really significant. You can do a lot of computing on the node locally before sending one byte. And the usual packet size of an 802.15.4 packet is around 129 bytes.
Okay.
So it's already like 129,000 CPU cycles, instructions you can already process here.
Right, I see. So that's why it makes sense to do all those averages, those calculations on the nodes themselves.
Absolutely,
that's interesting.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
In addition, I mean, also is coverage. I mean, 802.15.4 is working usually on a 2.4 gigahertz range, and you have also like Wi-Fi networks, Bluetooth, which are somehow disturbing. So it's good to have a strategy to store data locally, process them, and when the channel is free, send it to the application so you are more stable in terms of communication there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is, as I said, part of this eMERGE project. We are doing also other projects, for example, the WASP project, another European project. And here we are looking also into elderly care, but also into agriculture. So here in this area, we are applying this technology to cows.
Okay.
So one of the issues here is that cows get diseases on their feet and they start
mm-hmm.
to limp.
Mm-hmm.
And while we are together with other partners in the Netherlands, we are using sensors and create algorithms so we can detect limping cows. And this information is, again, we're using some kind of tree-structured sensor architectures where we have, I think, two sensors on the cow itself communicating to a gateway node which is like around the fence of the cow, of the herd.
Mm-hmm.
And this data is then read by the application, which in this case is even an SAP system. So really going from like small sensor nodes with 10K wirelessly over different steps to an enterprise system, SAP system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fascinating, where you see all those different kind of technologies coming together and really solving a real issue, with limping cows.
Sure, and I can imagine that the algorithms for determining whether a cow is limping or not must be quite fascinating.
That's right, and it's surprisingly similar to the sleep monitoring I've shown before, because it's also, in this case we're using acceleration data, and we also have those fast moving waves, and with the patterns in there, it's somewhat similar to the heart rate extraction from this pressure net, for example.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very interesting. It'll be very, very looking forward to see how these types of solutions will begin to form more and more part of the more regular applications and systems.
Yes, I think this is something which is while the sensor networks is getting more and more hopefully getting more and more mainstream and interesting. I mean, the hardware is going smaller and smaller. The battery usage, the energy usage, it's getting less and less. And we are starting to really see applications in this area. It's important to actually have really software that's solving the application building issue and make this much more easy and effective.
Oh, sure. They can see that.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, well, probably a good overview of what we're currently doing in the area of sensor networks. And I'm really excited to see this stuff then in real life with the patients in the clinics or on the cows. that's really fun.
Now, is there some place that people can go to see to get more information on the work that you're doing? Is that published? Is it available?
Yes, there are. I think the easiest way is to go to our EMIC website, and it's microsoft.com/EMIC. So, EMIC. And there you find all the projects we are working on. I think that's about 15 or so, not just in the sensor, but all security and so on area. And there you find also a summary of the projects and also link to the project sites themselves. Or contact me if you have questions, ideas, or whatever. My address is nawtneug@microsoft.com.
Well, great. Well, you know, Matthias, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, and we'll have to follow up with you a little in the near future and see how things have advanced with the cows and with the emergency.
Let's see next summer whether we have some pictures of the cows limping.
That would be great.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.